We are back with Bill Phillips and your calls as well this hour. Bill, do we all have spirit guides attached to us?
Yes. We all have a committee of guides that some of them were with us since birth, and a lot of them kind of come back and forth in our lives depending on the need.
Are they considered our guardian angels, or is that something else?
No, that's something else. Angels are the purest form of light that never really embodied a physical shell before. They've only been in spirit form. So they're the ones that are assigned to us as well to really help us in disasters and, you know, make you turn left instead of right, you know, to avoid the car accident.
I would guess you hear all kinds of stories from the other side, don't you?
Yeah, I really do, especially when I'm channeling. It's pretty interesting how that all kind of correlates.
Any favorites?
Oh my gosh, there's so many of them, truly. And you know, I always like it when they come through to help people avoid these disastrous situations. So there is one story of a woman that had been to a few of my audience readings, and each time her dad came through and talked about the number 44, and she did not know what the heck I was talking about. And every time she came to see me, you know, that came through with specific information, and he always said the number 44 went over her head. Well, the third time she came to one of my audience events, at the end of it, he came through again, and I said, you know, have you ever had any kind of issue below your belly button before, anything in there? And she goes, no. And I'm like, well, he's really encouraging you to get this looked at. You know, I'm not a doctor, but, you know, this really be careful with this area.
Yeah.
And after that, later that night, she started hemorrhaging, and she was rushed to the hospital.
That night.
And she was diagnosed with stage 3/4 uterine cancer, and they actually found 44 tumors there.
Oh my God.
And four of them were cancerous. There was the 4 and 44 connection that her dad was so trying to get through to her for those past month or so that she had come to see me.
Do you sometimes, Bill, shake your head when you hear these stories, or are you at a point now where you accept it?
You know, it really depends, because I'm trusting them so much. Even if the person's not getting it in that moment, I know that it's for them in some way. So for me, I love the validation, and so it just kind of gives me that jolt of energy that, you know, good job.
Well, let's go to the phones. They're lining up for you. We will pick up Stacy, truck driving in Ohio, first-time caller. Hi, Stacy.
Hi. How are you?
Okay. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Hi, Stacy. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you so much. I didn't expect to get on. I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask you. First of all, if you see anything or you get anything from maybe my parents as far as my love life, how that may be going. And the second question is, have you ever heard of a baby being born with sparkles on them? And if so, what that may mean?
Do you mean sparkles like
literally
like
gold? Gold sparkles. The nurse even was trying to get them off, and then they only appeared on. It's my granddaughter, and she was actually born on my father's birthday, and he was passed at the time, and but they appeared. They came and went for the first 3 years. She's now 8, and she used to see him, and she never knew him. And so that's one thing that popped in while I was waiting to talk to you that I wanted to ask about, because I'd never seen anything like that before, and they literally sparkled like they looked like gold flecks, and they wouldn't come off.
I actually have never heard of that before, but I would not be surprised if that was – you know, some kind of a sign that she's special, you know, and that's very interesting. So you said your name was Stacy?
Stacy it is.
Stacy, okay. Now, Stacy, I do have two men that have passed around you, and know that one's dad. Did who passed away before their time? Was that connected to your dad?
Gosh. Like there
who,
are a lot of
passed
a lot
away
of,
like under like you know 65 under retirement age. Is there
oh that like could be my uncle.
Okay. Yeah. It could be. I all I know is I have these two men that are kind of standing side by side. One of them is showing me that he went unexpectedly, and he wasn't able to say goodbye. So that's was this your dad's brother-in-law?
No, actually, that was my mother's brother.
Yeah, your dad's brother-in-law?
Yes, your dad's brother-in-law.
So I know that he's, and I also have a woman that died younger of like either stomach issues or cancer around you too, but she feels more like, she feels more to me like a contemporary than a parent. So I have her there as well. So I definitely am getting, with your father. Now, do you, are you divorced once?
Yes. Well,
okay.
Twice.
Okay,
yes.
Hold on.
I was going to ask you, how do you know this stuff, Bill? But that's your job.
Exactly. I know he's kind of joking around with you, kind of letting you know that he is sorry for the first one or something, and that
you had to
learn these lessons, and he's taking responsibility for that. Was the first one an alcoholic?
Yes.
Yeah, and he wants me to say that he's with his father over there. There is another male there that I feel like is another father, but I'm getting ex-father-in-law. So there's another father there as well with him. And they're just kind of letting you know, don't rush into anything. Like, let it be organic. Do you have any connection to Texas?
Yes, I do.
Okay, yeah. So why are they showing? Are you going there anytime soon, or are you talking to someone from Texas?
One of my best male friends is in Texas, and
yeah.
I've been worried about him lately.
That's what it is. Cause I was interpreting it. I thought they meant something romantic, but I was interpreting it as talking to the guy in Texas. And what they're trying to say to you is that you can't save him. All you can do is guide him. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We got to move on pretty soon with other callers here.
Okay, sure. So just know that. And then also, Stacy, do you have a connection to a Joe?
Yes, I do.
Who is that?
She said yes.
Sorry. Yes, I do. I do.
Who is Joe to you?
He is my ex-fiance.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. And was this your decision to end this?
This last time, yes.
Okay. So just know that your dad's giving you like props for this and letting you know that you made the right decision. And I do keep hearing actually the third time's a charm. Oh, and one more thing too. I know that the 14th is connected somehow. They're showing me 14. So either there's a January 4th connection or there's the 14th of the month that would be connected, birthday anniversary, something along those lines. So I'm going to ask you to hold on to that for afterwards.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Stacy. Just as you were talking about Texas, Bill, there's a Texas Petro fire going on right now.
Oh, my gosh.
Huge.
Are you serious?
Yeah, maybe you felt something.
Well, you know what's interesting? Before the call tonight, I did keep seeing a fire, so that might be validation for that.
Exactly. I'm going to, because we've got so many callers, I'm going to have to hold you to a couple minutes of person.
Sure, no worries.
I don't want to seem rude jumping in on you.
Okay.
Let's go to Mary in Cleveland, Ohio. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mary.
Hello, George and Bill. How are you guys this evening?
Wonderful. Good to have you with us. Go ahead.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Oh, hi, Bill. Nice to talk to you. Tonight actually the 18th was my wedding anniversary, and my husband passed in 2012.
Okay, Mary. And do I have your permission to connect with you today?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, awesome. Well, you know what's interesting? I do feel him, but I also feel another male there as well that I'm getting went from their own hand. So I don't know if you would recognize either nephew, somebody below that would have passed through either like an overdose or something addiction related, but I do feel a younger male with him over there. Let me see here. And then also, what I feel like with him is that this was his time to go. He keeps showing me a star, so he's trying to say he's your bright star where he's at. And he's also showing me 11 as well. So is there any, would there be any connection to like November, the 11th of the month?
That was the due date of our third son, but he came early.
Okay, was it on the 11th?
He was due that day, but he came November 3rd.
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, he's showing me the 11 to validate that, then. It might be his way of trying to let you know that he's sending love to him, okay? And I also know, did your husband not take the best care of himself in life?
Absolutely, correct.
Yeah, he wants me to say he's sorry. He could have done things differently. He's putting a ton of bricks on my chest right now. So I know that he would have had issues with the heart-lung area. He's just letting you know that he didn't want you to see him in those last moments. He took the opportunity to go on his own accord, and he's telling you that he's sorry for the last scene there, okay? And also, does his death day have any connection to a birthday anniversary? Like, is someone's birthday around his death date?
My one very good girlfriend, her son was born on the day he died.
That's what he's trying to say to me. So that's his way of also letting you know that he, I want to say, guides that child as well. And he's also giving me the CHR name. So there would be like a Chris or a Charlie or something like that, too, that he wants me to say. And that could be living or there. Is anyone like a hard CH name?
We have an Uncle Chris. His sister's married to a Chris.
Ah, okay, there you go. So, so know that. And then he's also wanting me to say my name, which is Bill. He's like, there's a Bill or a William as well that I feel like he would be connected to on the other side. So I don't know if there's like a father-uncle figure there, but there's someone that has my namesake over there with him.
He had many uncles. I didn't really know all their names.
That's okay. And one last thing as well I want to share with you, because I know that he's been this guiding light for you. I know he's been sitting on the bed. He's helping you get a new bed. He's joking about that with you, something with the bedroom. And I also know that he sends you pennies as well. So do you ever see pennies heads up?
Absolutely, all the time.
That's him. So just know that. That's how he communicates with you, and I know that he left one that would be from the year 1984 as well, and that date or that year is significant. He's wanting me to say to you, so something about that's my birth year actually. So something with the year 84 is significant, and when you find the penny with that year on it, it's his way of saying hello to you.
I love it. Thanks, Mary. That's cool. They communicate in little things like that, don't they?
They really do. Yeah, it's really just giving them a voice, you know, and understanding that it's the sweet, simple things that connect us.
Have you ever had a situation where you can't connect?
No, but what I will say though is that there are times when a soul comes through that the person either doesn't want to hear from, or it could be for someone in their group. So it could be like a coworker's son or a best friend's husband that died. So, you know, I don't have any control over who wants to come through. And so sometimes when people come to see me, they're also a messenger for somebody else.
Do you ever have a point where you can't get to sleep because you're getting bombarded by these spirits?
Yes. You know, it was a lot worse when I was younger. I've learned to have boundaries with them when I go to sleep now. But there are times that my mind still goes to that crazy place. So it comes with the territory.
Let's go to Alan in Westminster, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Alan.
Hi, George. Very interesting show. My question for Bill is, what is your take on suicide?
Oh, that's a great question, Alan, and thank you for asking. You know, I believe that a suicide, it really depends on the purpose of it. I do believe that sometimes there is sort of what I would call a cancer of the mind, you know, where it sort of is in their contract that they are going to go early because of something to do with that mind level disease. But then there's other situations where, you know, someone goes to Vegas, blows their, you know, their life savings and then jumps off the roof. And that is a breach of a soul contract. So it's within my belief system that it's going against the contract. It's breaking the contract, basically. And it's never the right way, you know, obviously. But I feel like what happens is that soul is put in, is left in the same energy that they were trying to escape, but they're not able to numb anymore because they're out of the body, you know. So they have to kind of be in their emotions and really, really work through what they were trying to escape in the first place.
Bill Phillips with us, his latest book, Signs from the Other Side. Bill, where can we get the book?
You can get it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, most major booksellers, but I think Amazon's probably the best bet.
They've got everything, don't they?
Yes, they do. It's awesome.
And he also is the author of Expect the Unexpected. Does anything scare you about this?
No. No, the only thing that not with what I do, but with the dark side, yes, because I have seen it affect people negatively. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a different topic, but you know, I've worked with people before that were quote unquote schizophrenic, you know, and a lot of them were just psychic, but didn't know how to really elevate their energy or to protect themselves. So the only fear-based part of it is just not letting yourself get succumbed to the dark forces out there.
Have you ever been to an exorcism?
Yes.
What was it like for you?
It was very intense. I have a friend in upstate New York that has a farm up there, and one of her houses on the property was extremely haunted, so much so that the door slammed and you heard people walking. And down in the basement, there was this awful putrid smell. And so she actually did call out someone that was like a shamanic worker. So it wasn't a traditional exorcism with a priest, but it was similar in the sense that the ritual, you know, was there to cleanse that energy out. And it really was dramatic. It was like out of a movie, you know. Seeing
it's kind
things.
Of freaky, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, and that's what I mean. Those lower earthbound energies, they're able to wreak havoc because they feed off of fear, you know. And so when there's fear around them, they just want to attach themselves to it.
No question. We're going to come back with final calls in a minute with Bill Phillips as we talk about the signs from the other side. The spirit guides fascinate me in terms of how they're attached to us. I mean, is there some force that assigns them to us?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, it's interesting. Like, let's just say that somebody had an issue with addiction in their life. You know, let's say that someone died from alcoholism. And when they got over there, they realized, you know, their shortcomings and their lessons. And so now they want to help people avoid that same mistake. So you might see them gravitating towards people that are reaching a breaking point, you know, or it could be a teacher that was killed and she still wants to protect her children, you know, her students. So she helps schools and teachers. It really just depends on the intention behind that spirit and what actually moves their soul.
All right, we're going to come back and take final calls with you, Bill, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, and welcome back to Coast, Bill Phillips with us, and your calls. Our final segment here as we talk about his work, Signs from the Other Side. Is it dangerous, Bill, doing what you do?
You know, it's not dangerous as long as you are protecting yourself and you're having that boundary. You know, it's sort of like when somebody wants to play around with the Ouija board and they don't know enough about it, you know, and there's no protection, you can let in those dark forces that can mess around with you. But really, if you surround it with that white light, that God light, and you have that pure intention, that's really the barrier that keeps you between those two spaces.
When you were in your trance state, I guess, to, you know, do what you do, mm-hmm. have you ever gotten to a point where you didn't think you could get out of it? Like stuck in it?
No. It's pretty, it's really just knowing how to kind of drop out of it. So I'm very, like, elevated high, almost like kind of sometimes a little bit busy in the mind a little bit, and then when I'm done with it, I just kind of ground myself, and it's all about pulling your energy back down and being one with the earth again.
Okay, let's go back to final calls here. We'll pick it up by going to Kim in Vermont. Welcome to the program. Hi, Kim. Good to have you with us.
Hello, George. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Kim. How are you?
What's your question, Kim?
You.
Go ahead.
Well, if you're saying that we come back hundreds of times in our lifetime, and can you tell what we were? Was I an artist? Because I've been painting for 50 years, and was I an artist in a different lifetime?
That's very, very possible. You know, when I heard your voice, I kept seeing music notes everywhere, so I was brought back to, like, the Baroque period, you know, 1800s, music is what I picked up on. But, you know, art can take many different forms. So I would not be surprised if you were an artist, but I get a lot of music around you as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's it. Thank you. Very welcome. Next up, let's go to Gina Maria, State of Washington. Hi, Gina. Go ahead.
Hello. Peace and love, and God bless everyone and everything everywhere.
Well, thank you.
I wanted to see if maybe my brother would come through. He crossed himself over January 1st, 2012.
Oh, I'm sorry for your loss, Gina. is anyone connected to you, a Paul, by chance?
A Paul. Did you say Paul?
Paul, yeah.
Paul?
She thought you said a Paul.
I'm adopted, so I'm not sure if I know everybody from the other part of the family, you know?
That's okay. It's the first thing that I heard when I heard your voice. I want to honor that. And if it's Paula, Pauline, it's a possibility. But I definitely keep getting that. And do you also have a father or father-in-law that's passed?
Yes.
Okay, because when I tune into your brother, I get with dad for some reason. So I don't know if he means with, like, his father-in-law or his father, but I keep getting that type of reference.
Father-in-law.
Okay, that might be it. And then I also see the number 3 as well. So I don't know, has it been at least 3 years for his passing?
Since 2012, but there's 3 of us who were adopted together from New York, Long Island.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I think that's what it is. And I know that there's a service connection. He keeps showing me a fire truck for some reason. I know that he wanted to be of service, but he got in his own way is what he keeps showing to me. And I also know that there's a beautiful black dog with him over there as well, that I don't know why I want to call him Buddy for some reason, but there's this beautiful black dog in spirit with him as well, and I keep getting, like, man's best friend. So did you guys have a family dog growing up?
We did, but just for a short while when we first got adopted, and then it crossed over. But he had a dog a long time ago, and I don't remember the name. I don't know
that's
if I knew
okay.
the name.
He wants me to call it his buddy, so I want you to know that I know that he's in a much better space where he's at, and he wants me to say that his head is clear. He's like, my head is clear. I'm happy now. And I know that he's thankful for balloons. He keeps showing me balloons. Either there's a birthday reference happening right now, or someone did this for him. He just shows me a bunch of balloons, and that's my sign for celebration. Is something happening soon?
Yes. Well, there's going to be a baby born soon in the family.
That's what it is. So he's making a big deal about that. And where are the girls? Does he have two nieces, two daughters? Where did the girls come in for this?
Well, there was a girlfriend he had that had a couple girls, I believe.
Okay, that might be what it is. So I feel like he's trying to let you know that he still keeps a hand out and watches over them. And then he's just there's a very simple, you know, Jesse, Jason, some kind of JS name as well he's trying to give to me. Is anyone, like, a strong J name connected to you?
His name is Jose.
That's it. He's trying to give me his name.
And I don't know if my father's crossed over as well. His name would be Jose.
So they're both JS names. So he's just trying to let you know that he's okay. And he keeps showing me this baseball cap as well, and he's putting it backwards on his head. So he's very funny. He's a very, you know, personable, you know, just a good guy that just kind of got on the wrong side of the tracks. I know that you understand that. And he's also showing me 34. That's my age right now. So was he above that age when he passed?
Actually, 43.
So funny. I'm so dyslexic. That's perfect. So that's what it is. So he's trying to tell you that he was supposed to be, he wasn't going to be here for a very long time in this lifetime. I also know that he loves boats. He's on a boat in heaven, loves the water as well. And one of his signs to you was an eagle.
Oh, beautiful. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. Good luck to you. We've got some more callers here as well, Bill. When you do this, when you get into this mode, does it ever exhaust you?
Not during it. I actually feel like it's like it feeds me during it. Like I'm connecting with that current. It's usually afterwards that I like to give the analogy of studying for an all-night test and kind of being a little bit, you know, having that mental fog afterwards. So it definitely requires, you know, self-care and a lot of rest in between and just kind of having boundaries, even with the living as well, you know, just kind of to recharge yourself.
We've got Steve in Indian Hills, California. Welcome to the program. Hi, Steve.
Hey, actually, it's Indian Hills, outside of Casa Grande, Arizona.
Ah.
But yeah, I've called in before. That's why now I'm on the other line, the wild card line. I didn't want to get in trouble by calling the first time caller line.
Well, that's okay.
But my mom died when I was 8 years old, and it was pretty traumatic. And what's ironic is her birthday is on Phoenix Lights on March 13th, and that's when it really got me into the UFO thing and all that. And the other irony is when I got married, I found out, you know, about a year into my marriage that her birthday was when my mom died. So all these ironic, you know, like when he was talking, when Bill was talking about the numbers and everything, that hit me right on the head, because it's very amazing how there's so many, and I could keep going, but that's enough for right now, like just the coincidence of numbers.
That's amazing. And I, Steve, I wholeheartedly believe that your mom was behind all those connections afterwards. They're always trying to connect us and provide the people that they feel are going to be best for us on our journey. So,
you know, they have no answer for those Phoenix Lights. And I'm thinking it was her, because that was when I was getting married. That was the year that I proposed to my wife. Mm-hmm. Whose birthday that, you know, she died on. Mm-hmm. And that when I proposed to her, it was only a few days later that the Phoenix Lights came. And I'm thinking that those were my mom. Somehow my mom was doing those lights.
She sent those lights to us, huh?
That's what I'm thinking.
I would not be surprised at all.
Thanks, Steve.
And just a little bit here, Steve, I definitely, I keep seeing 21, but I am dyslexic, so I can see it backwards at times. Does anything have a connection with you with the 21st?
28 is the date that was the date that she, you know, September 28th was when was her, my ex-wife had a divorce, which is like a death.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that was like last year.
No, that's not what it is.
That was as bad as when my mom died. It was just as, if not worse, you know, just maybe because it was more recent. But
there's either a December reference or the 21st reference. I keep seeing it very strongly around you. So
December, that's my birthday's in December.
That's probably what that is then. Are you born before Christmas?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So this might be mom's way of just trying to validate her connection to you. And there's also a Don or DN kind of a sounding name that I'm supposed to bring up as well. Is anyone like a Dan or a Don connected to you?
My ex-wife's brother's name is Dan.
Okay.
And I always thought he was really cool.
Yeah, and so, you know, sometimes what happens, I always say, even the ex-in-laws or people that are connected to the ex-in-laws, they are part of our soul groups, actually. So I feel like even though that contract was broken in the physical realm, it still exists in the spirit realm. And I know that there's a connection to a father energy being connected to Dan, who is also watching over you as well. So that's pretty interesting.
Bill, do you ever run into a poltergeist?
You know, I cannot say that I have ran into a poltergeist, but I've heard stories of it, though. The things that I've experienced goes back into my my late teen years of going into a house that actually was in Laguna Beach, close to where I live, and walking in and door slamming and having these two souls be right up in my face explaining that they didn't like how the house was redesigned, that their piano wasn't where it was supposed to be. Just very crazy stuff like that. And so much so that there was a painting in the kitchen that actually flew off the wall. And that's when I said, see you later.
All done.
I'm done with this now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that move on.
Exactly.
Let's go to Christy in New Jersey. Christy, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I lost my cat 2 months ago. She got out. She's a black and white cat. Will I get her back? I go every morning to look for her.
You know,
I don't live there.
That's a very sensitive question. Let me see here.
Animals? Do you do that?
I do actually. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have another animal named like Sheba or something, or SH name?
I have other animals.
Okay. I keep getting like an S or an SH sound, so that could be something different. I keep seeing hills and nature for some reason. So I can't tell you if that cat has crossed over or not. All I keep seeing is an open hill area.
Can you tell if it's going to come back to her house?
What I can tell you is that you will have news about this soon.
One way or another.
Yeah, you'll have news about it soon. I want to say probably within the next 3 weeks or so.
There you go, Krim. Thank you, Christy. I hope everything works out for you. Let's go next to, let's see how much time. We got time for one or two more quick calls. Let's go to Kim in Niagara Falls, Canada, International Line. Hey, Kim, go ahead.
Hi. Well, yeah, I'm calling about my twin flame. If you can give me information. I have a feeling that it's a connection for my purpose here, or soul group, or anything, if there's any information you get about that.
Yeah, well, I want to first explain this quickly, that a twin flame isn't always someone that we think of as being romantic. Some people have a misconception that it's like their ultimate soulmate, you know, the one, but I don't believe in just the one. I think that we have many different people that we come here to associate with. So twin flame is a very broad term because it could be like a parent, it could be a child, you know, there's so many different forms that connect with that. But what I can tell you is what they're showing to me is that you're actually supposed to be helping teach people. I keep getting a very strong teaching reference with you. So it's almost like bringing this awareness to the community around you, or raising a cause, something along those lines. And they're wanting me to tell you to step out of your fear about traveling, just to kind of get up and do it and not to worry about like the consequence or fear about what will come of that. So are you planning on traveling anytime soon?
No, but they're right. I have agoraphobia, so I don't like traveling too far.
That's what it is. So they want you to know that they're trying to help you break free of that. You have a very strong woman off of your dad's side of the family who's guiding you. It does feel like a grandmother to me who has been gone for a very long time. And thank you. And she just flashed me 1111. So it's one of her signs to you that she's helping you through this part of your life right now. And like she wants me to tell you, you're not getting over the hill. Don't, age is only a number, is her message to you as well. So I feel like the next 6 to 9 months or so, you're going to be working on really breaking free of that fear, because you can't meet someone like that or have that connection unless you actually get out of your comfort zone.
Indeed. Kim, thank you for being on the program. We appreciate it. And as far as you're concerned, Bill, come back anytime, okay?
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.
The name of the books, of course, Expect the Unexpected, Signs from the Other Side. Bill Phillips' website linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. Stick with us all week long. We've got some great shows for you. Don't forget, Saturday we'll be in Everett, Washington, near Seattle, for our live stage show. So I'm really looking forward to that. And we've got a great series of programs for you for the rest of the week as well. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasor, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Badal, and George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.